Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN 97.5. KFNC and 97.9 HD2 Mont Belvieu, Houston. Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Downtown Aquarium. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hey, Joe, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you talk to that microphone? I can't hear what you're saying. What's that? Yeah, we can't hear you without the microphone.
What are y'all doing here?
We're just hanging out.
We're just hanging out.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's all I wanted to ask.
Okay. Have a good day.
Just keep asking good questions. And don't ask keep dumb questions.
Yeah, that was a good question. By her.
It was. What are you guys doing?
We're just hanging out.
Just chilling. Hanging out with the fish.
Hanging out with the fish. I don't think it's something
Shout
you want
to
do.
Fish.
Right? Isn't that like, doesn't mean you're dead?
Yes, it's not something
isn't
you
that,
want.
Isn't that a, that was a, yeah, you don't hang out with the fish.
No, we don't want to.
No.
We just are.
We are at the Downtown Aquarium. That was one of the
one
lovely
fish,
employees
fish,
here.
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
There's a lot of red fish, blue fishes here,
there
actually.
There are, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. Downtown Aquarium, that's a big tiger. Yeah, where is that?
Here.
That's here?
Yeah, it's the only thing about this place I've never understood.
Yeah,
they have a tiger.
It's not in the aquarium.
Yeah, I don't get it.
There's three
tigers?
Them? Hopefully they're contained very well.
Yeah, I don't want to be eaten.
No. Oh, they're outside?
Oh.
Yeah, that is kind of weird that there's tigers in
yeah,
the
I don't get
aquarium.
It. Yeah. It used to be a white tiger.
Maybe they feed them the fish.
Yeah.
The ones that get a little old.
Just like, hey, this guy looks like he's about to croak. Take him out. That's dinner.
They do their checks in the morning. They see one floating to the top.
All right. Get to the tigers.
They send it to Scar.
Yeah.
713-780-3776. We are live, Downtown Aquarium, if you can't tell. Giving away a $500 gift card at Republic Boot Company. Tomorrow, we're all going to be at East River 9, the entire station, for our soccer watch party and our U.S. Open watch party.
Yes.
Come watch Team USA and the U.S. Open with us at Birdie's Ice House. I'm already craving that Caesar salad. It was so good last time, the shrimp Caesar. Starting at 10 a.m., you can register to win another $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. You should find our promo team so you can enter for your chance to win. The winner will be announced at 5:30, like today, and the winner will not have to be present at the time of the drawing. So there you go. Is our game final?
It is final.
We have won two bets today. We
Let's
won
go.
The Switzerland minus one at even money, and we won the Switzerland Bosnia Herzegovina at minus 107. So we won a pair of units already, and we have a chance to go for the sweep with Seattle Baltimore. The scoring has stopped in that game, though.
It has.
What is it, 3-0 in the?
Going into the fourth.
Okay, so still time.
Yeah, still time.
Still time. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Who is the second most defining player for the Houston Texans this season? C.J. Stroud, clearly number one. Who is number two? 713-780-3776. Junkie said there's a couple outside the box ones here. They said Nick Cayley. Nick Cayley's number two. The defense is solid. Stroud and the offensive game plan ability to make halftime adjustments will determine what the Texans do this year. Another junkie, the most important position of the Houston Texans is the offensive coordinator, play caller. This is because we know Stroud has the ability. He has to be put in the correct position with the correct plays. If not, it's another concussion waiting.
I think that's a very good outside-the-box answer. It's the importance of Nick Cayley this year. Because it didn't feel like they adjusted in a big way last year. And we, you know, like they've talked openly so far. I think the little information that we've got that's been interesting so far throughout OTAs and minicamps has been just them talking about how much more comfortable they are in year two in the offense, which makes sense. As Brian pointed out yesterday, it doesn't mean it's a guarantee it's going to get better because we saw what year two in Bobby Slowick's offense looked like. But in theory, it should be improved. And we all kind of questioned Nick Cayley throughout all of last season about his decision-making, his play calling, how much is it on CJ, how much is that is on him. But very fair to say he's right there behind CJ Stroud, or maybe even on par with him, honestly.
Yeah. I think it shows you how important the quarterback position is, that the guy that calls the plays that is pretty important to how the quarterback plays mm-hmm. is that high up on the list. Now, Yeah, I mean, but dude, that's pretty vital.
You don't think that would be the case in almost, like, half the NFL?
Yeah.
Like, it probably is. Like, it's the, you know, I think you can make that argument in Seattle this year. Probably the most important player on their roster is probably JSN. The next, but maybe the most important person overall is going to be their new offensive coordinator replacing Kubiak.
Yeah, I think it shows you the importance of play caller in the NFL.
Yeah. Like Mahomes and Josh Allen probably are outside that conversation, maybe even Lamar Jackson. But if you don't have like that elite quarterback, the play caller matters so much.
It's funny to me, though, how the offensive play caller seems to get more, I guess, votes than the defensive coordinator, the defensive play caller. I'm talking league wide.
That's probably just the it's honestly probably an unfair perception.
Yeah.
Is that they probably are on
par. How is
that
not equally important?
It should be. Which I'm guessing Matt Burke's going to call plays this year.
I don't know why he wouldn't.
Yeah, cuz it worked very well for them last year.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's OC and DC should be on par with each other, but I think it's the importance of offense for a team kind of elevates offense coordinator above it slightly.
Another junkie says Jerry Shilpinski. He's the new quarterback's coach.
Yep.
So, again, like, quarterback adjacent. I don't like these two answers from a couple of junkies. Kiami Fairbairn, I don't like that. Another junkie, I think Fairbairn could be the second most important player, says 409 Josh, an elite kicker. An elite kicker wins games, can cover up average quarterback play, and can help an OC be more aggressive. See, I don't want the Texans to sit here and settle for a bunch of field goals, though. Like, that was kind of their issue last year.
Yeah.
Like, their red zone, their offense would stall out in the red zone. Their red zone offense was bad. They couldn't score. They couldn't get to the end zone. I don't want Kiami Fairbairn to be the second most defining player on this team.
I don't want him to
and
be.
If he is, I think you're in a bad spot.
Yeah, you're probably in the same position you were last year.
Like, the more that he's used, I think it's negative.
Yeah, you want his point total to cut in half this
year.
Yeah. Because you want majority of his points to be one at a time instead of three at a time.
I think so.
But to the Texas point, to forward on Josh, like, he was extremely important. I do think that last part there is he does allow, you know, Nick Caley to have some flexibility with being a little more aggressive because of how reliable he is.
We went with the over with Brian Wu on the mound.
He's got a 4-year ERA this year.
I love that guy.
I do, too. I just kind of did some math, and 4 plus 4 is 8.
I wonder what it – I mean, they're in Seattle, though. Pitcher's Park.
They got 3 in the first.
Might be done scoring.
You didn't look at any of the information?
No, I didn't look to see who's pitching. I probably should. If I would have saw Wu, I would have – but maybe I'll be wrong.
It's Shane Baz on the other side.
He's pretty good, too.
At times.
Concordia Lutheran, what's up?
If you live bet the under?
Maybe. What is it at?
I can look.
Junkie, if they're gonna go running game, tight ends. That's a whole position group, though. We're talking about one specific player. Tank Dell. Last time Stroud was great, Tank was dynamic. See, I don't think he has to be the second most defining player. Like, I think they can be good without Tank being back. Now, if he's back, oh, boy, look out.
Yeah.
But I could see a path where Tank Dell is their fourth receiver, and they're still really good.
Yeah, I think it's just there's. It feels like there's a correlation very much with C.J. Stroud.
He's like a wild card to me.
But with Tank Dell, and I think that's why people will point to him. Year one, they don't really use him a ton in the first 2 weeks of the season. They start towards the end of that Colts game that we all were debating what the value of that game was. And then he really starts to get involved in the offense starting in week three. C.J. Stroud takes off. The following year, the offense is humming. He has this unfortunate catastrophic injury, and the offense kind of falls apart, it feels like. At that point, it feels like whatever Tank brings with CJ, whether it's a connection, knowing each other's patterns more, or just the skill of Tank Dell, which I think is very high when he's healthy, it just seems like the offense is significantly better when he's out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I still see a path where they can be a top 10 offense without Tank Dell being a top 3 receiver. Like, and in fact, I would probably guess that's going to happen.
Like, I wouldn't bet on it.
If I went fantasy points, I wouldn't have Tank Dell finishing top 3 at the receiver fantasy points.
For the Texans, absolutely not. No, it would go not. Nico, yeah. Higgins, and I think Noel.
I would have it that way.
Yeah, and I maybe Tank over Hutchinson?
Sure.
Because he's got, what, 2 career touchdowns or whatever it is?
Hutch is more of a blocker. Like,
yeah.
They don't really go to him.
But I would take those 3 guys over Tank Dell right now.
I would, too.
And maybe that'll change as we get into camp, if he's actually out there. In contact and pads, I'd be willing to put Tank in front of Noel. But until I see that, I'm not going to put him in front of him.
Junkie, Tank too small, way too small. He's not like Amendola or Welker. Well, he's not really a slot guy either like those guys. Like, you would think that a guy his size would be a slot. And Tank can do both, but he's actually better as an outside receiver. I saw Nico Collins on the cover of one of the fantasy magazines this year. I don't really love Nico from a fantasy perspective.
I don't.
I love him as a football player. I don't love him as a fantasy. I wouldn't draft him terribly high.
No.
I don't think they want to throw the ball a lot. And they're going to be winning most of their games. And their defense is really good. So it's not like they're going to be in a bunch of shootouts. Like, I don't think Nico's going to put up, like, amazing wide receiver numbers.
I can't remember. Brian, do you remember when Josh was in last Thursday, whenever that was? Were we in or out collectively on Nico for fantasy?
I know Josh was out on the price.
Yeah, I think it's because he was going, like, what, like,
yeah, it was like
10th?
Wide receiver.
No, that's too high. No, he's going late second round.
I think he's wide receiver 7 or 8.
I don't think that's right.
On underdog. I could double check.
I think he's outside of the top 10.
Yeah, I think we're out because of where he's been going in terms of, like, the wide receivers. But the player, like, just the Texans player, yeah, for sure.
It's not the same thing.
Yeah, they're totally different conversations.
The player and the fantasy player are two separate things. Yeah. Nico Collins is going wide receiver 9. Okay, you're all right. I can't hear you. Can you talk to the mic? Talk to the microphone. Microphone. What was
How
that,
about those Knickerbockers?
Did you see them beat up all the Spurs fans, those hooligans in New York?
Well, Wimpy turned out to be a sore loser.
He's kind of wimpy, too.
He didn't shake hands with anyone.
It's Bush League.
And he was kind of like a roughneck during the series. And
that was the Houston XFL team.
Dirty play.
That's fair.
Brunson trying to
hurt Brunson. He likes those elbows.
And, you know, you get what you deserve. You know, you get what you deserve in life.
Yeah. So you call him soft?
Well, I mean.
We call him soft.
He's a little soft.
Do you think
soft.
All Frenchmen are soft?
I wouldn't call him soft. I mean, he has a big ego. So, yeah. I mean, you know.
I don't like Wimby.
They were gonna win the series even after they were down 3-1.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess he.
You're wearing a Yankee hat, too. So
the Yankees are doing pretty good, even with Judge out.
So you're a New York guy.
Yeah, I'm a New York.
Did you live there? Did you live in New York? You never lived in New York?
I live in New York.
You do live in New York.
I'm visiting for the World Cup, watching Portugal play in NRG Stadium.
Okay, so
you
live there.
Disappointing tie yesterday, but I think they'll bounce back.
Cool. So you're a Portugal fan?
Portuguese-American.
He likes Ronaldo over Messi. Joe does.
Me, too.
See?
I got
people on my side.
League trophies.
Messi has more World Cups and more World Cup goals.
World Cup.
And that's more than Ronaldo.
Well, Ronaldo has a European championship.
Those aren't the same.
Which isn't bad. Well, it's not the same, but it's close because the best soccer is in Europe.
Messi has the most World Cup goals ever.
True. He leads the scoring statistics. Yeah. And he's won 5 Champions Leagues, which is like the
Yeah, but he's
World
sold out
Series.
And he's playing in Saudi now.
Yeah. But they.
What do you think about that?
They won their championship this year.
Yeah. Was there anybody else good in that league, in the Saudi league?
Well, sure. I mean, Al Nassr is, and then they have the Al Hilal.
Al who?
That guy, L-A-L, Hilal.
Al Bundy?
Yeah, Al Bundy, yeah.
Congratulations to your Knicks.
Well, thank you very much.
I hate the Knicks. I hate New York. Well, but congratulations to you. That's really cool. A parade was awesome and all that
stuff. Yeah, it was. You know, yeah. And Brunson's a worthy MVP.
Yeah, because we live in Houston.
Have you ever been up there?
I have been friends
with Ed Pinckney. I'm his electrician.
Oh, Ed Pinckney's an electrician.
That guy. And Ed Pinckney is one of the management in the Rockets. So he's the one who told me about this place.
Oh, cool.
To come and check
it out.
Well,
yeah, enjoy your day. And enjoy
Ed
our
is a
city.
Good guy, so,
yeah, you know, happy to have you. Hope you enjoy
Massimino
your stay.
Was a champion with Villanova.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Similar to Brunson and Bridges and Hart.
Yeah. Yeah, first Villanova
team,
broke my heart.
First
once,
threesome
so.
That want three players to win a national championship and an NBA title.
Wow,
first
I didn't
time
realize
in
that.
History.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. What was your name?
Antonio.
Antonio. Good nice to meet you. Enjoy Houston.
Thank
you. Enjoy the World Cup.
Yeah.
Nice
appreciate it. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
Thank
guys.
You.
Thanks.
You're my. Yeah, ESPN's a great station. We like here. All right, brother. Good to meet you, Antonio. Junkie says this guy knows ball.
He does know ball.
Antonio does know ball.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that conversation very much. You like the Texans.
Yay, Texans!
You have 4 favorite teams? Give Antonio the mic again. No one can hear you, Antonio.
The Texans are my 4th favorite team.
Is this your
team.
Wife?
Yeah.
Your wife doesn't like that you're talking to
well, here's my. Of course, I'm a Giants season ticket holder.
Okay.
And then the Dolphins, because they're the anti-Jets. And then it's the Los Angeles Rams.
Do you need an NFL team at every coast? What's going on here?
And then the Texans. I'm rooting for them big time. I love their defense.
Yeah,
they remind
awesome.
Me of the Giants.
What do you think of Stroud, though? Do you think he's very smart?
Yeah, CJ Stroud's got a little maturing to do, but okay. I think I don't know if he's the answer for you, but I think I'd give him another couple years.
We were just talking about Stroud's the most defining Houston Texan, right, this year. Like, the season's going to determine based on Stroud. Who's second? Who's second, though?
Gee whiz. I mean, I would just put the defense, is there.
One, we got to pick a player. Can't pick a unit. Got to pick a player.
Wow. You got me on that one. But
fair enough.
Good luck with the Texans. Yeah. I think they're a good squad. I think they're close.
Yeah,
very
we'll
close.
See. We'll see. They need quarterback play.
Thank you, Tony.
And your wife likes the Dallas Cowboys? Give her the microphone. What? You're trying to talk to me. Why can't you talk in the microphone? She's not a Cowboys fan.
Oh, okay.
All right. Y'all have fun. Enjoy Houston.
Thank you, guys.
Enjoy the aquarium. A lot of people in the downtown aquarium.
There are.
Yeah. Viva Mexico. There we go. Let's go. Vamos. Vamos.
You got one. You need to get giggled at this time.
Vamos. All right. 713-780-ESPN. A junkie says start calling in Antonio. It's a long distance call. Another junkie. Antonio's very shy. Antonio must be a twitcher. We're not going to say bad things about the Yankee, Antonio.
I like
dump
Antonio.
Dump the Yankee. Antonio's nice.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
I don't like his sports teams. I don't like his allegiances. He sounds like a T-shirt fan when it comes to football.
Yeah, that's a little tough. Four teams.
I enjoyed him. I would like to have a cigar with Antonio.
A little scotch.
I don't know. I think more the cigar.
Well, a little scotch and a cigar.
I'm thinking just the cigar.
Just the cigar.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to waste my good scotch on a Yankee.
You can buy it.
Okay, fair. All right, 713-780-3776. When we come back, yesterday we talked extension for D'Amico Ryans. I think they should do it immediately. He's the face that runs the place. He's totally changed this franchise. 11 wins in 3 seasons prior to his arrival. Playoffs 3 seasons in a row. Double digits wins 3 seasons in a row. Is Caserio, though, a no-brainer extension like D'Amico is? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live from the Downtown Aquarium on ESPN 97.5.
We're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Downtown Aquarium. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Indeed, Downtown Aquarium. You can win a $500 gift card at Republic Boot Company. You don't even have to be present. You just have to fill out a little information, put it in the bucket. Viva Mexico over there is trying to win. He would look great in boots.
True. But so did Antonio.
Antonio did too?
Oh. I don't know if he did or not.
Yeah. You'd have to have another trip down here.
Or you just go get it right now.
You could.
Or when it's, I guess tomorrow.
Good chance. Yeah, $500 gift card on the line. We'll pull it at 5:30. You don't have to be present to win, so good luck to all of those who have entered. Yesterday we talked about D'Amico Ryans. Most of us think it's a no-brainer extension. There was some pushback. I think it's ridiculous, but we're all entitled to our own opinions. Nick Caserio, is he the same? Is he the same in the sense that he is – Viva Mexico. Let's go. Sí, listos. Is Nick Caserio an automatic? Automatic for you?
He is not for me.
No?
It's not automatic just yet. Because of the offensive line, it just has not improved significantly enough for me to say that he is a surefire, give him a new contract. Now, there was this – was it
they
last
can take
year?
It and shove it.
Last year, where I think Landry said that Caserio got in a contract extension, but
they don't have to be public.
They're not public, so GMs are a little different.
You would think that the Texans would want to make that public, though.
Yeah, because things have been going so well. Like, why not promote it and be proud of it? But I would not say for me he is like a surefire thing right now. It's close because obviously he's helped build one of the best two defenses in the NFL. He's even great at drafting with guys like Nico Collins and Tank Dell before the injury. I think Higgins is going to be a hit for him. He has a lot of successes, mostly on defense. But it really think it comes down to the offensive line and if it improves this year. And I do still have the concerns about this John Carroll connection and what the overall Nick Caserio influence is on that.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't have a – because I think D'Amico Ryans overrides anything Nick Caserio wants. I think D'Amico Ryans has final say. If he really didn't like something that Caserio is pushing onto him, I think D'Amico Ryans could get his way.
No matter what?
Yeah. No, I think they have a great working relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, I hear you on the, like, hey, he's putting things in his ear that you don't like he's putting in his ear. I think that's fair. But I think if D'Amico Ryans came to a point where it's like, okay, Nick, like, stop hitting me with John Carroll guys, I think D'Amico would get his way.
Yeah, if they were in a room with those two guys and Cal and Hannah, and D'Amico said, we have to stop doing this, Cal and Hannah would side with Caserio. I mean,
that's a great point.
Caserio.
It's a great point.
Like, they would 100% choose D'Amico. So it's just not like I put like still like 90% right now. I give him another contract.
So Nick signed
it's not 100%.
He signed a 6-year contract when he came to the Texans in 21. It was reported that he signed an extension, but they did not announce how many years were added. So who knows how long he's currently under contract for?
He could be under contract for another 5 years.
He could, but I don't want Nick to go anywhere. Like I'm mostly and look, we make fun of everybody in the city. We make fun of everybody. I make fun of D'Amico. I love D'Amico. D'Amico's a role model of mine. That's just what we do. We make fun of people. I like Nick. I like D'Amico more as a head coach than I like Nick as a GM. Mm-hmm. But I think Nick is a good general manager. Is he perfect? No. No general manager is. I think that if you were to fire Nick, though, I think there's a more likely chance you find a general manager that's worse than him than better than him. So I want them connected. I want Nick here as long as D'Amico's here, quite frankly. But if I had to fire one sooner than the other, I'd fire Nick sooner. But, yeah, I'm cool with him being here long-term, however long that extension is.
Do you think it's easier to replace a head coach or a GM? Like a better chance of success after?
That's tough. Probably I think it'd be easier to replace.
I say GM just because I think the coach, if he's good enough, can elevate the talent that's brought in.
Yeah.
So – like, if Nick Caserio drafted a defensive player that wasn't totally up to par with what D'Amico and he were expecting, I think D'Amico would be able to get the best version out of that player still on defense. So I think he can make up for some of, if there were deficiencies of a new GM, if it ever came to that.
Yeah.
At least on the defensive side.
So you said it's easier to find a
GM.
Yeah, I think I'm there.
Yeah. It's close, probably. I don't think it's like a wide margin or anything like that.
But I think that D'Amico is a top 10 head coach, and I think Nick is a top 10 general manager. So like I'm good just keeping them both for a long time.
I think the challenge with Caserio that he's going to face is how his roster construction is going to have to change pretty dramatically.
It's going to be challenging. But like, I'd rather have Nick do that than most potential hires.
For sure.
You know, it is going to be a challenge. It is going
to
be a challenge.
And part of it, too, with like part of I think one of the things to not trash, you know, Hannah and Cal too much. I don't fully trust them still with the hiring part of all of the stuff. That if they were to go out there and try to replace Nick Caserio, you know, we talked about the Corn Ferry tour earlier. Like, are they going to have to go out and use Corn Ferry, or is it going to be someone that D'Amico knew from San Francisco that's just going to be the guy to replace Nick Caserio? I just don't have, like, full faith in them at the moment to replace a GM. So I'm good with him staying. I'm just not at 100% like I was with D'Amico.
No, I would be less on Nick, but do want both of them. Junkie and Nick, we trust. Extend the man. Caserio couldn't find a competent offensive lineman if the offensive lineman was standing on his foot. I mean, have they changed the narrative with that, though, with Ursary?
I don't think they have yet. I think they can this year.
But what if Ursary is a good tackle
at
left tackle, who you drafted in the second round, and then if Keelan Rutledge is a good center, big if, I get. I think that you have to change the narrative on
100%.
That.
100%. It's just not yet.
If he hits on both Ursary and Rutledge, you can no longer use that. You can say he was bad at it in the past.
Yeah.
But he has flipped the script on it if he nails these last two.
100%. And honestly, I think you could add Ed Ingram into that mix. A guy who was in Minnesota who had a bad offensive line, didn't want him. You clearly did some kind of evaluation correctly and were able to bring him in and then extend him to a big contract this last offseason. So I think you can flip the script if Rutledge is good this year, and so is Ursary.
I do, too. Like now, if they're both good, you can no longer use that as a negative against Nick.
No. I think you can always have a little concern when he drafts offensive linemen, but I think you have to give more benefit of the doubt than not if Rutledge is good right away.
Yeah. If Nick actually fixed this offensive line, extend him. So he's letting it based on the offensive line this year. That's fine. Caserio's automatic. If for no other reason, he flipped the 40-man roster. Not easy to do. And got rid of the toxicity and all traces of Bill O'Brien. What 40-man roster is baseball?
Yeah, I don't know why I said 40-man, but I know what that meant.
Do you?
I meant 90 man.
I don't think he meant 90 man.
Think he meant 40 man?
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Very wrong.
I'm giving the junkies the benefit of the doubt. You're not.
I mean, it's 50 guys off.
I know it is. Well, that's going to just be a number. Could be a voice text issue?
No, it wouldn't
no,
be.
40, 90 is not that close.
People use that excuse way too loosely.
Oh, they definitely do.
Way too loosely. Rocky, I think Caserio is going to get judged after the season and how CJ plays and how he handles CJ in the offseason. That is make or break for him. That's probably fair. That's probably a fair make or break. Because you didn't have to draft Stroud. Like, if you loved Will Anderson, you could have just drafted him at 2 and never made the trade up to 3.
Yeah, I mean, that probably will tell the story of Caserio's tenure as GM is what happens with CJ Stroud here and how it handles the whatever happens this season and how it goes after. If he's good and you sign him to a contract and then he's bad and it becomes a Tua contract, Caserio will lose his job. If his decision path is to try to do like what the Colts are doing, which is just veteran to veteran to veteran to try to find a guy, but you don't get a good enough quarterback to win anything, that can hurt you and cost you your job. He has to hit the quarterback situation to keep his job secure. That's the most important thing for him. D'Amico, I think, can overcome
Viva Mexico.
I don't think.
See? He hit us with the ESPN jingle.
Yeah,
that Mexican hit us with the ESPN jingle. That was awesome.
That's great. I wish we had the mic on that. But it's just talking about quarterback at the end of the day with what he does and how long he's the GM of the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you agree that can D'Amico overcome if Nick Caserio messes up the quarterback situation?
Can D'Amico live?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can stay?
Yeah.
And you know, a new GM can find a quarterback and D'Amico can stay.
Yeah, D'Amico's job security is better than Nick's job security.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, D'Amico's always going to get the defensive credit. I think he's going to get excused whenever it comes to the offensive guys. You know, if Stroud is a miss, I think that falls more on Caserio than D'Amico,
100%.
Whether that's fair or not. I think if they pay him and he doesn't have the return on investment, that's going to fall way more on Nick, too. He's the guy who gave him the contract, negotiated the contract, whether that's fair or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, that is true. Now, it doesn't have to mean – you don't have to keep Stroud, though.
No, you don't. It just – if you – whatever path you choose, you have to get it correct. Whether that's draft, free agency, trade – whatever it is, it has to work and be better than it is currently. It has to go up.
Brian just came through so clutch.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Jeremy's been looking for a picture of his license plate.
For an hour and a half.
An hour and a half so we can get his parking validated.
2 hours, actually.
Cannot find it. Has been locked out of accounts trying to find it.
Yeah.
Getting frustrated.
Very frustrated.
Maybe the most frustrated I've ever seen you, honestly. And then Brian just sent you a picture of your driver's
license. Who's this handsome devil in the middle of these two trucks?
What's the debate here in this photo? Is
Brian's path. He's parked like a slash.
Oh.
He's parked like a slash. I think he's a bad parker.
You were claiming I was over
straight.
The line.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
Not on this
one. That's why we took the picture, because it was so
not
egregious.
On this one.
The claim was
not
egregious.
On this one.
Yes,
I said,
it was.
This, not on this one. This one I said that you were parked like a slash. And it was a bad parking job, and that you're being inconsiderate to whoever's parked to the left of you because you're parked like a slash.
I figure you should apologize anyway, because I just saved you.
I.
It doesn't change the argument, but I do appreciate you finding this picture, and I very much appreciate it. It's going to save me $15.
All that stress over $15.
Yeah,
I'm not cheap. I'm just frugal. You know? All right, 713-780-3776. Jose Jorge should talk to the fans about the Mexico team in Spanish. Viva
no,
Mexico.
What am I going to say? Hold on.
I just say Viva Mexico.
Viva
next
Mexico.
Time. Next time that a Mexican guy
no.
walks by with a Mexico,
no.
you're yeah, why not? Why not? Just there's Mexicans that look like you.
That's true.
Like Canelo Alvarez is redheaded.
Yeah, he is.
And I'm Mexican.
Next time you see a Mexican kit, I want you to say Viva Mexico.
Viva Mexico.
Yeah, it's easy.
All right.
That's easier than any song you sing. Este,
amor.
There's always talk about the importance of having success while a talented quarterback's on a rookie deal, but not entry talk about the Texans capitalizing on this defense before it gets too expensive. I think we have talked about it. It's a good point, but I do think we've talked about how this roster is going to become very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Key from L.A. Nick need to bad word them picks. He wants to do naughty things with picks and get CJ a real left tackle. I think Ursary's got a real chance to be a real left tackle, though. Junkie, epic, thanks, guys. I don't know what he's thanking us for.
For the Jose.
It hasn't even happened yet.
I know. He just wants me to say it again.
I hope it happens. All right, 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live from the Downtown Aquarium, where today at stake is a $500 gift card to Republic Boot Company, drawing the winner at 5:30. 713-780-3776. Coming up next, Willa Bits. You never know what you're going to get. You just know it's going to be stellar. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great food debate? Jeremy being a giant buzzkill? Joe trying to do math? Carry the one, Joe. Carry the one. Or maybe they'll recklessly label people as casuals. Let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous bit.
What did she say?
Had to go with the generic. That one hadn't been made yet.
What do you say?
It hasn't been made yet. Okay. She was busy, so.
What was she doing?
I don't know.
What was she busy with?
I'm not sure.
It's
unavailable.
Get off my lawn, Willa Bits, today. We are live from the Downtown Aquarium. Great time out here. We love it out here. Right by the Stingray Reef, down in the bowels of the aquarium. But there's a couple of get off my lawn things that I've had that I've seen over the last couple of days. The first one actually comes from Derek Lewis. Remember Derek Lewis got beat?
Yeah.
You might have even said this. I hate, and it's a pet peeve of mine, get off my lawn of mine, when random jabronis call on athletes to retire.
Oh, sure. I didn't say to retire. I just say, look,
okay, yeah,
uninterested.
That's right. That's right.
Out of shape. Retire.
I can't stand that. I can't stand it. Like, these guys, maybe they're not as good as they once were, and maybe they're nowhere near as good as they once were, and maybe they're even costing your team.
Yeah.
But how could you tell another athlete, another man, hey, no, you should stop making $20 million a year. You should stop making millions of dollars to support your family. I cannot stand that take.
Yeah,
I hate it so much.
Because people are really just doing it because they're selfish most of the time. Because it's usually you're talking about an athlete that's on your team that's bad, right? I'm sure at some point Tigers fans were even saying, hey, Miguel, can you – like, I know you're chasing 3,000 hits, but Miguel Cabrera, you're costing this team $35 million a year. Can you please retire?
Of course not.
You don't
of
think
course
so?
He's not going to do that.
Oh, of course, yeah, he's not going to do it.
It's very, very rare where an athlete leaves that sort of money on the table. You see it occasionally, but it's very, very rare. Like, Lance McCullers, you need to retire. Why? Why would he retire? Because you don't like him watching. You don't like watching him play baseball.
Yeah, they're going to cash those checks.
He's not going to just give up $18.5 million.
No,
we see it with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, he's too much. He's in the news. He should go retire. Oh, okay. You wouldn't want to make $15.5 million a year. The most recent example of Derek Lewis. I don't know how much Derek Lewis is making in a fight. How much would you guess? $300,000 maybe? I have no idea.
Probably.
That guy should stop getting $300,000 checks. How moronic does that sound whenever you actually lay out the details of this?
Yeah.
I hate this take so much.
Yeah, with UFC, it's interesting because I feel like there's a little bit of, like, what are you doing to yourself out there by fighting?
They're feeding their family.
Like,
they're putting food
but,
on the table.
Yeah, they're also like, getting pulverized.
That's
times.
A decision you have to make
for sure.
Like it's not up for us to make that decision.
Yeah. Now I've thought like I've seen guys, especially like in the UFC, where it's like this guy probably shouldn't be out there anymore. Like I think immediately is Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
The end of Chuck Liddell was a tough.
You see
watch,
boxers
man.
A lot, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. Especially like once that jaw gets weak, and they're going down quick, like. Is anyone like I wouldn't? I'm not going to begrudge Conor McGregor for. Apparently, he's got two fights.
Yeah, I think he's got two fights left on his deal.
Yeah, he's got one. His next fight's April 2027. After this one, this year.
Oh, really?
So they've already got a date. They've already got a date for it and everything.
Okay.
So, you know, it's.
Hope he doesn't break his leg again.
Yeah, hopefully not. But it's one of those where, like, I think, like, you look at this
can't
team.
Hear you. I can't. I can't. We can't hear you, sir.
I'm looking for tickets.
We're not sure.
I think they're right out the front.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. You know, no apologies needed. No, happy to help. We were asked a moment ago, too, about how to go to the restroom. So
we were, during the break.
And tickets. We've been asked about tickets twice and restroom once.
Yeah.
So does that count as bathroom?
I think it's pretty – I mean, it's adjacent enough.
Probably not. But, yeah, I just hate that one. I hate it so much. Oh, that guy should retire. It's not your wallet, bro.
No, it's not.
It's not your family, man. That guy's feeding his family. This is the – and a lot of times these athletes, this is their last chance to make, like, real money.
Yeah, a lot of guys, well, what are they going to do after?
I mean, Lance might be a barista, but that didn't gone well.
No, it's
like,
not.
I hate it. So you can not like the player, not like the contract. You should be like, yeah, you know, I don't feel comfortable with this guy from a safety perspective fighting anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, yeah, he should stop making money. Like, come on. Get out of there in somebody else's pockets.
Yeah.
We're not doing that to you. You should stop working. We're not doing that to you. You're bad at your job. You should stop working. No. Come on. And then my other pet peeve, get off my lawn type. I've seen a lot of guys do this recently. The old take of, like, this guy in this lineup spot, he's way better than any other spot.
Yeah.
Like, look at his career numbers. He's better batting sixth than he is batting fourth. He should bat sixth.
Mm.
I hate that sort of logic because, one, it's very, like, you're looking at it from an individual perspective.
Yeah.
You're not looking at it from a team perspective. And I actually went and looked at the numbers on this the other day because it was annoying me to no ends the other day. I pulled the lineup. I think this was what day was this? The 7th? This was yesterday. This was yesterday's lineup for Joe Espada. I went and I just put every starting nine. Like, mm-hmm. They played nine guys, right? There's nine guys in every starting lineup. I went and looked at every single one of the – your light's on, brother. Your light's on, brother. Brother, your light's on. Oh, you got it, man.
He's going to fight you.
He didn't like that. I told him that.
He did not.
He didn't like to be shown up like that. Nobody's going to show me up with my light. I lost my train of thought. So, yeah, like, people are like, oh, he's better in this part of the lineup. This is where he should bat in the lineup all the time. Ah! So you're looking at it from an individual point of view. You're not looking at it from a team point of view.
Sure.
So as a case study, Joe, I went and looked at every single Astro in the lineup yesterday, and then I put them all in their best spots individually of where they should be in the lineup. Do you know what the lineup would have been yesterday? Let me tell you.
Okay.
Jose Altuve would have been in the leadoff spot.
Okay.
Jake Myers would be in the two spot because he hits better in the two spot than any other spot. This is the logic that we're working with.
Don't like that.
There would be nobody batting third.
Okay.
There would be nobody batting fourth.
Okay.
Yordan, Loperfido, and Vasquez would all be batting fifth.
Oh, so there's three guys in the box
all
at one time.
All three guys would be batting fifth. Isak Paredes would be batting in the sixth spot.
Okay.
No one would bat seventh. Jeremy Pena would bat eighth, and then Christian Walker and Cam Smith would both bat ninth.
Okay.
This is the problem with this logic.
Yeah.
You see one player struggling, you're like, oh, well, they need to move him in the spot in the lineup. And then you're like, well, if you did that with everybody else, this is the logic that you're using, then this would be the lineup that you would have. You would have Jake Myers batting second. You'd have Yordan Alvarez batting fifth. You'd have nobody in the three-hole, four-hole, or seven-hole. I hate this logic so much.
It's poor logic because all it is like you said, you're looking at one guy and saying – He's better here. But then what if the spot you want to move him to? Because usually there's not a follow-up with this when you hear that take. There's not a, well, the guy batting, let's say, fifth currently. You know, I don't know, maybe Christian Walker's better at batting fifth. Well, what if whoever's batting fifth in that day's lineup is also, that's their best spot?
Right.
Then what do you do with
it? You're looking at it from a you're looking at blinders.
Yeah, it's just like it's a very, like, one-angle kind of view on putting a lineup together. That's totally flawed. Totally flawed.
I can't stand it. I hate it so much. Because it's just like, oh, you're going to nitpick one guy. Now, here's where I'll concede some stuff. I do think there are guys in the hitter profiles that are better suited to set the table versus clear the table. I think Jose Altuve is a good example of this. Jose Altuve is not good with runners on. Like, he gets over-aggressive, he gets overzealous. I think he's more of a table setter than a table clearer.
Sure.
I think Yordan Alvarez is a better table clearer, but I think Yordan Alvarez is so good it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that can become, like, an issue because, like, Jose Altuve right now is batting fifth. He's probably better as a top-of-the-lineup guy, but he doesn't deserve to be in the top of the lineup right now.
No, he doesn't.
So it's just poor logic, and I hate the logic.
I think in a perfect world, I was talking about this with Sean for Inside the Icebox for tomorrow.
Nice plug.
Yep, 6 o'clock right here on the station. YouTube video drops in the morning. In a perfect world, would Cam Smith allow Jose Altuve to move down in the order?
It's not up to Cam Smith.
Isn't it? Like, if he starts,
you're saying like his decision or his performance?
No, like his performance.
I mean, he's been all right lately.
But like, if he continues this, you know, he's a lot of one for fours. Like, his batting average and everything is not elite over this last month, but he's getting on. I think the quality of at-bats are much better.
Cam?
Yeah.
Cam's doing pretty good last month.
I think it's like .241.
I pulled the numbers earlier today. Cam Smith last 28 games is slashing .265, on base .327, slug .439.
Yeah, like
that's better than Altuve.
Is that enough to flip them in the lineup for you?
Yeah,
yeah. I wonder if we're far from that because Altuve will move down. He won't have an issue with it.
No, Altuve's requested it before.
Yeah, he's a good team player.
COVID, like, year, he went to Dusty's office and told him to move him down, and Dusty wouldn't do it for a while.
Yeah, but like, so if Cam Smith continues to play at that level, you can flip them. That can improve your lineup on a day-in and day-out basis. Outside of that, like, I don't know, just cherry picking numbers. It kind of reminds me of like PFF a little bit, where people like use certain analytical numbers to make their case. That's what this argument is. You're looking at one number for one player and saying this is what's best for the Astros. And it's like, is it?
And then if you look at all, and then whenever you look at everybody else in the lineup, well, it just makes no sense to me. And like, who would you even move up to that spot? Like, who do you want protecting Yordan?
Christian Walker.
I think so.
Who else would it be?
But the other argument would be Esoc, because Esoc's coming on lately. But Christian,
yeah.
And maybe last 2 weeks Esoc's been better, but Walker's been better on the year.
Yeah, that feels like too much of a small sample size to say to flip Esoc and Christian Walker right now.
No.
Maybe if this continues for another month where Esoc Paredes is very good and Christian Walker is struggling a little bit, then you make the flip then. But that feels too reactionary on a day-in and day-out basis. It's not how anyone views baseball that works in baseball. They don't go, okay, this guy's been struggling for a week, let's change everything. Usually have to put a good sample size together before they start flipping things around.
You could do the Altuve, Yordan protect Altuve. But it's still the same thing, though.
But then Altuve is just going to hit any double plays when Pena's on first.
Well, he's going to get more fastballs. Yordan's going to protect him. Altuve's not going to have runners on base as much. You know, it might be a way to try to get Altuve out of a slump, you know.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, how much it benefits Yordan Alvarez for being behind a guy right now who isn't usually swinging at the first pitch.
Well, if he's batting third, it's not going to really matter.
That's true, I guess.
Although, I mean, I guess it could if Jose Altuve leads off an inning or something like that.
Yeah, I would just leave it as is right now at the top with the first three. Peña, Alvarez, Walker, and then...
But Walker doesn't get in the three hole.
Yeah, I know.
He's better in the five hole. You should flip him there. You should put him in the five hole.
So that's
the other thing. It's like, well, what's the plan then?
Yeah,
like,
so if
Walker's better in the five hole than he is in the three hole, so we're going to move Walker to the five hole because he's better in the five hole than he is in the three hole.
Yeah.
What are you doing 3-4?
Paredes, Cam Smith?
Oof. Cam Smith batting cleanup, huh?
I mean, I think that's what you're asking for. You're asking for Altuve to bat cleanup right now if you want that.
That's
a bad decision.
That's the point of the logic being flawed.
Yeah, it's totally flawed. Like,
it's
incredibly
flawed.
Cam Smith
logic
is totally
Hello,
fine.
Hello, I can't hear you. Can you grab the microphone? Yeah.
That was a no.
Yeah, no, no.
Oh,
she
said yes.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Where is the bathroom?
The bathroom's right there, through those caves. Hope it goes well for you. All right, 713-780-3776. Before the Sorsby news, there were a lot of tech fans saying go independent. Which programs could actually do that if they wanted to and have success? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe live from the Downtown Aquarium on ESPN 97.5.
1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. You don't need to spend hours and hours at a dealership anymore waiting for someone to come on checking you, and you can just look for a vehicle when you already kind of know what you want to get. Right now at D&M Leasing, you go to their website, dmautoleasing.com. You can see their full list of inventory right now. When you pick the car that you want, you give them a call at 713-290-1000. You speak to one of their veteran sales agents, and they'll bring you that brand new lease vehicle within 24 to 72 hours. And if you qualify, you can get payments for as low as $400. You can get a new vehicle in 3 years. Be switching that thing in and out so you can avoid dealing with negative equity. Just all simple. It's a better process leasing a vehicle than buying one the old-fashioned way. Give them a call right now, 713-290, or visit them at dmautoleasing.com.
ESPN. 97.5 from 7 to 10. Is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Downtown Aquarium. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We are broadcasting live in the Downtown Aquarium, right next to the Stingray Reef. Brian set the over-under of how many people are going to ask us to go to the bathroom at, what, three?
Yeah,
three and a half?
Three and a half.
Three and a half.
It's been only two.
We're at two.
I thought it'd be way more.
Well, we got
now.
Tickets at two.
We have had tickets, yeah.
Well, that's because last time Sean and I were here, it was 18.
18 people asked?
Yeah, from between 12 and 3.
Wow.
It was brutal.
People had to go.
They did.
Maybe people will have to go more during those times because it's right after lunch.
Very possible.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just looking through Twitter here. Pro Football Talk tweeted, Colts corner Sauce Gardner says he's 24, not 25.
Yeah, so I guess on Wikipedia, on Madden, on all these different websites and things, it says he's 25.
Well, that's because of, like, it's your age 35 year.
So they asked him about it, I guess, at, you know, minicamp today or whatever they were having, and he said he's 24, and that's why.
Oh, well, I mean, his birthday must be wrong.
Yeah, I think his birthday is wrong.
Because he's listed born August 31st, 2000. So he's about to be 26, according to all the, you know, stuff. I don't know, man.
Yeah, so
he needs to put his birth certificate out there.
So this is where – so like I just did a quick search.
And it's probably changed
now it's saying 2001 is the year he was born. That says 2000. So it's off by a year.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I wonder where it went awry.
Great question. I'm guessing.
And why he's never corrected it.
I'm guessing at Cincinnati it probably went wrong.
Why wouldn't he correct it?
I don't know. Why do we wait so long? Why did Trevor Etienne wait so long to correct his name?
Well, a lot of people with names, they just don't care.
They eventually change it or get it fixed.
Because they eventually are like, okay, now I care.
Yeah. Which I guess it makes sense with him being back in New Orleans this time. But who was some of the Achan?
Akeem did
or
it.
Or whatever. It's Achan, right?
Devon Achan.
Yeah, we thought it was A-chan. Devin Achan.
I think it's Achan.
Yeah, it's Achan, yeah.
Yeah. Akeem did it because he wanted his name to be pronounced correctly. He didn't want people to say Hakeem. He wanted people to say Akeem.
Yeah.
Which he changed it back to Akeem because that's the way that he spells it.
Yeah.
And his family's like, hey, you know, that's the way we spell it. And now people call him Hakeem. So he was right.
Yeah.
People were going to botch it. That's how I know that it's Akeem.
Yeah.
Not Hakeem.
I mean, sometimes people correct it right away. I remember when Tom Thibodeau got introduced to the Bulls. In his first press conference, he said, it's Thibodeau and Tibbs.
That's weird.
He's like that's it's not Thibodeau, it's Thibodeau, but you call me Tibbs if you want.
Junkie says, tell the next person that asks y'all to go to the bathroom the wrong way. See if they come back and ask again. Yeah, but the thing is, usually, I mean, we're here 3 hours. So if somebody comes by and we tell them the right way, they're not going to come back and ask again anyway.
So I think it's saying the next person. Like, tell them to go that way.
No, I understand. So, but.
But then they're going to, but if they come back, like, they might be like, I couldn't find
okay,
it.
Okay, so he's saying it's more. I see what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I see what he's saying. I thought he was saying it was a way to, like, not have people come up to ask us.
No.
I see. So he's more of just, like, the prank.
Yeah, word's not going to get around that we're giving out bad information.
Yeah, I don't think we want to do that. We don't want to be jerks.
No.
We jerks about it. All right, 713-780-3776. You see this Freddie LA7 guy?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Ella Langley gave a... She's going to the Ella Langley concert tonight in Oklahoma City. So he's like in this big hotel right across the street from the arena.
Yeah, dude, they're putting him up in nice hotels.
He's got, I'm looking at the video here. They gave him like three pairs of really, really nice boots.
Yeah.
They gave him three suitcases, which is a clutch move because he's going to need suitcases to get back all this stuff. They gave him some cowboy hats.
A Yeti cooler.
Yeah.
With a bunch of chomps.
Oh, yeah. That's what really stuck out to you, huh?
Well, I know you like them. So I pointed it out.
They're all right. I like the chimichurri chomps, but you can't find them that often. Yeah, they skim so much stuff.
Yeah,
yesterday though, he went to the In-N-Out in the Woodlands.
Okay.
And he's like, "This is the best burger I've ever had." I'm like, "Uh oh,
that's not gonna go."
I'm
over
like,
well.
"Uh oh, they're gonna lose. Freddie LA is gonna lose all the people from Texas."
Yeah, but he's in you know an Altuve jersey when he was at NASA. You know, it's weird that he's covering his face.
Yeah, that's his thing. Covers his face.
What if he's an American pretending to be and just get all free stuff?
I don't know. Maybe he's from L.A. I don't know. It's interesting. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get to the segment we were actually going to tease. Before the Soresby news, there were a lot of Texas Tech fans saying they should go independent. Which programs could actually do that if they wanted to and then have success also? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, live from the Downtown Aquarium.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.